We continue our learning of Yiddish Masdavi ben Menachem Ushem Chaim Yaakov and Pidichos Elio in Bechoras Periches Mishnah Gimel. The general principle behind this Mishnah and the following Mishnahs is that Suffolk Bechor, when we have a situation where there's a doubt as to whether a child is going to be a Bechor, there's no obligation to do Pidyon Abein, to give the five Sela to the Kohen, because Hamosi Mecharel Varaya, the burden of proof is upon the Kohen to prove that indeed this is a Bechor, and if he cannot prove that, so we don't have to give him the money. Mishalo Bikra Ishto V'yoldo Shnei Zecharim. Here's a case where a man's wife has about to give birth to the first child, so potentially is going to be a Bechor. V'yoldo Shnei Zecharim, and she gives birth, so two males. So says the Mishnah, no sein chamesh sla'im la'kohen, which means that the case here is that there are two males born, but we're not sure which one is the Bechor. So it doesn't matter, because it's this person's wife had two children. One of them is definitely a Bechor. We're just not sure which one is us. They gave birth to twins, but one was born first. So the first one is the Peterechem. So even though you can't identify who came out first, nonetheless, you certainly owe a Kohen five Selah, and therefore you have to do so. Mace echad mehem b'sel shloshinom, then ha'av patr, though. If one of the children die within 30 days, so then the father's patr from giving five selah. And that's because maybe the one that died was really the Bechor, and there's no obligation to be po to him, because the pidyon only takes place after 30 days, on the 31st day. So since it didn't live past 30 days, so there's no obligation to be po to that Bechor, and maybe the one that died was really the Bechor. You know, it could be that the other one was, but we're not sure. And therefore, the father can tell the Kohen, you bring me Uriah, that the one that's alive is really the Bechor. Which obviously you can't. So therefore, I don't have to give you the money. Meis ha'av v'habanim kayamim. Let's say you have the following. The father died. The sons are alive. So we're thinking about, okay, from the estate of the father, doesn't the father owe five Sela? So here, the sons are alive. And the question is whether there's an obligation for the sons to be poda themselves. Remember, one of them is a Bechor, one of them is not. And the discussion that we're going to assume, like the opinion in the Gemara, that the father died after 30 days. So it's after 30 days, so there's certainly an obligation of giving the money for the Bechor. So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, Im nasnu ad shelo chalku nasnu. If the money, the five selah, was given to the Kohen by these children, from these boys, from the Nichse Yerusha, from the estate, before they divided the estate amongst themselves, so then nasnu, it's given, which means that they cannot claim the money back. By saying, well, this is from the estate, we have no obligation to give, because after all, the father had passed away. We'll explain why. Since they did not divide the estate, the money is given, the Kohen gets to keep it, five Sela was owed from the estate, they're a meshubad to pay that debt, and therefore the chayv to pay. But v'imlav, says the Mishnah, but let's say they did not give the five Sela, these sons. The father passed away, they have the estate. The father, had the father been alive, he would owe five Sela to a Kohen for one of the two sons, even though we can't identify them. But here, if let's say they did not give the five Sela before they divided the estate, now the estate has been divided, all the father's homes and the cars and everything else he owns is now divided amongst these two brothers, where one of them is a Bechor. Then the Mishnah says Pturim. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, that now they're putter from giving any money to the Kohen, the five Sela to the Kohen. Why should that be? The father certainly owed five Sela in his lifetime. One of those two sons is a Bechor. One of them should have to be redeemed. Why all of a sudden do we say that if they divided the estate, now the money from the estate doesn't owe anymore five Sela to the Kohen? So the answer is because according to Rabbi Meir, we assume that when brothers split, divide an estate, they have the halachos of what we call lekuchos. Lekuchos means purchasers, people who have bought something. Although all they've done is divided, we view it as if each one has bought their chelek, their portion in that Yerusha. They're not Yorshim anymore. They're not, we don't consider them inheritors anymore. They're as if they purchased that which they have. So why does that matter? What's the practical application of calling each son a lokeach, a purchaser of the piece of the estate that was divided up that they now have? The answer is that when it comes to the five seller that a father owes, the father's not alive anymore. So we view that as a debt, but as if he owes money, as if he's a borrowed money, owes money, but only what we call a milva alpe, a loan that was given orally, that was not, that verbally, that was not written in a shtar. And the rule is that a milva alpe, where someone borrowed money, but it was not written down in a document at all, so then the money does not have to be paid out from the estate if it was bought by someone else. So take a classic case. You have Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon and they didn't write a shtar at all. There's no shtar. So Shimon sold a piece of his property to someone else, and he has no cash to pay back or whatever it may be. Can Reuven now go to Shimon's, to the lokeach, to the one who purchased this property from Shimon, and say, well, you know, you couldn't have purchased that because before you even purchased that, Shimon owed me money. I'm going to confiscate that from you for my loan, or part of that for my loan. Halacha is he can't do that unless that was written in the shtar. That is because that was a milva alpe. That was only a verbal loan. And a verbal loan, obviously, you can pay, exact the money cash. But if all he has is property, the property was sold to the lekuchos, to other people, you can't confiscate it from them. That's the rule when it comes to milva alpe. The same thing here when it comes to pinyon abein. Pinyon abein we view as a debt, yes, that the father owes the five seller. He certainly owes a kohen, that's true. But we treat it like a milva alpe, as if it was. There's no document, it's only verbal. And since the brothers, now that they've divided the estate, have the status of a lokeach, of a buyer, so the rule is that you can't collect a debt from a buyer. So the kohen's out, that five seller. In this circumstance, says Rabbi Meir, where the brothers have already divided the estate. Before they had divided the estate, so the estate owes that debt, that five seller, but once they've divided it, it's too late. The Kohen cannot claim it. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nischayvu nechasim. He says, no, the estate, the possessions of the father are obligated to pay that five seller. It doesn't say, father owed five seller. The father dies. There's the Yerusha, there's the inheritance. The inheritance, the estate itself, owes that five seller. That doesn't matter that the brothers now have divided the estate. Question is, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that way? So Rabbi Yehuda believes, one opinion is that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir and holds that Achim Shechalku, brothers who've divided his estate, they still have the status of Yorshim, of inheritors. They don't have the status of Lukuchos, of buyers. And since they're only inheritors, so a milva alpe, a verbal loan, can be collected from Yorshim, not from Lukuchos, but Yorshim. They still have the status of inheritors even after they divide the estate. That's one way to explain why Rabbi Yehuda says they're chayiv to pay the five seller. And others claim that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a milve haksuva batorah is considered like a milve bishtar. What does that mean? So from where do we know that you owe five seller to a kohen for your bechor? It's in the Chumash, it's in the Torah. So that is tantamount to a milva bishtar, as if the loan is written in a shtar, a document. There's no better document than the Torah itself. So it's written in the Torah that you have a firstborn, you owe five seller. So the same way, if there were a document written and there were a debt, the debt could be collected from the kuchos, from the buyers. So the same thing here. Even if Rabbi Yehuda may hold, like Rabbi Meir, that the brothers, after they divide the estate, have the status of the kuchos, of buyers. But nonetheless, the Kohen has the right to collect the five seller after the father died from the estate, because you can collect from the Kuchos if it was a milva bishtar, if the loan was written down in a document. And this loan is tantamount to have been written down in a document because it's written in the Chumash. Then the Mishnah says, Zachar in a cave. Well, let's say this man's wife gave birth to a male and a female, and you don't know which came out first. So then in Kal Kohen Klum, the Kohen doesn't get anything. Hamotz Mechav Alavaraya. You, Kohen, prove that the first child indeed was the male. Then I'll give you five seller, but you can't prove that. Maybe it was the female, and therefore I don't owe you anything. Periches Mishnah Dalu. Continue with this discussion of Safek Bechor. Shtei Nashim Shelo Bikru. V'yoldu Shnei Zecharim. So now we complicate matters. Here, a man is married to two women. each of them have yet to have a child. So each one, if they each has a male, so they would be a bechor from both of them. V'yoldu shnei zecharim, and they gave birth to two males, but they got mixed together. You don't know which child goes to which woman. It doesn't matter. No sin eser slum the kohen. You owe 5, 10 stela to the kohen for each bechor. Each one was a bechor. 5 and 5, you owe 10. Meis echad nehem b'soch shloshim yom. But if after the father already gave the kohen the 10 stela, one of them died within 30 days, so then im le kohen echad nasan, if he gave the 10 stela to one kohen, he's going to be mezakeh. One kohen is a good friend who's a kohen. I'm giving you both the 5 plus 5 for both kids. I'm giving you that money. So, but now one of the children unfortunately died within 30 days, where there is now no obligation to redeem the child. So says, and he'd given the money to the kohen already. Yachzir lo chamesh sloim. This kohen who was given 10 has to give 5 back, because the father's not chayef of pinyon abein of the bechor that died within 30 days. But in l'shnei kohanim nasan, but let's say he was mezakeh two separate kohanim. For, oh, I'm giving you 5 stela for this child and 5 stela for that child, although he doesn't know which one is the child of which woman. But nonetheless, he owed 10. So then, eino yachol lohotzi miyadam. Then he can't get any of his money back when one of the children, the sons, the boys die within 30 days. Because each kohen can say, no, you can't take the money back. The pidyon money that I'm holding on is for the live child. So I don't owe you that. And now Hamotzi Mecharel Varaya, the burden of proof, works in the opposite direction. The money is already in the hands of the Kohen, and the father would have to prove that indeed the money that I gave you was for the child that passed away, and you owe me that money back. But he doesn't have that information, and therefore the Kohen and both get to keep their 5 sellers. Zachor Nikeva. Let's say this man was married to 2 women, gave birth, but one gave birth to a male, one to a female. Oshrei Zachor Nikeva. Or there were 2 males and a female born from these 2 women of this man. So the children were mixed up. We're not, let's say they gave birth, Rashi claims they were in hiding, so didn't really know, you know, who gave birth to what. No saying shchamesh slurim lekohen. This father certainly has to give 5 stela to a kohen, because one of the children is definitely a bechor. Why? Because here there's a zachar and a keva, so, and he has 2 wives, so one of them is certainly a bechor. Or 2 zacharim and a keva, so we know that one of them gave birth to a bechor. The only question is, maybe there are 2 bechorim here. That's possible. It could be that one wife gave birth to a boy, and the other wife, who had 2 children, gave birth to the boy first, and then the nekeva. But we're not sure. Maybe the nekeva was born first, and therefore he only owes 5 sela for one of the wives we know certainly had a bechor. Shtei nekevos v'zachar. If you have, let's say they gave birth to 2 wives. These 2 wives of his gave birth to 2. To two females and a male. So in the previous case, where it was a zachar nekeva or 2 zachar nekeva, no sin chamei slem lekohen, he certainly has to give 5 stela. But if now the 2 wives, what emerges from the 2 wives, 2 females and a male, or shnei zacharim or shnei nekevos, or 2 males and 2 females, ain't kan lekohen klum. The kohen doesn't get anything, because maybe the nekevos were born first, and there's no bechor at all from either of the wives. Achas bikra v'achas shelo bikra. Let's say a man's married to these 2 women, but one had already given birth to children before. So if she gives birth to a male, that's not going to be a bechor anyway. V'yaldu shnei zacharim, and 2 zacharim are born, and they get mixed up. So no sin chamesh slem lekohen. He has to give 5 stela, because we know vadai there is one bechor here, because there are 2 males that were born. One of the wives we know didn't have any children just yet, so that was certainly a bechor. Meis echad mehem b'soch shloshim yom. But if one of the children died within 30 days, and we don't know which vlad, which child, the offspring, which male child died, so, and one of them may have been. And the one that died may be really the one that was from the bechor, from the woman who had yet to give birth. So there's no bechor here at all. Then ha'av patra. Then the father doesn't have to give 5 sela. As we said, maybe the one that died was actually the bechor. Meisa'av ha'banim kayamim. So now we go back to that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda from the previous Mishnah. If the father dies, the children, the sons are alive, and they now have Yerusha, so Rabbi Meir Omer, same thing. Im nastu it, they gave the five sela to the coin from the Yerusha ad shelo chalku before they divided the estate. Nastu, it's given, nothing you can do about it. As we explained, they have the status of Lukuchos, and Lukuchos, ad shelo chalku, before they're Lukuchos, just from the estate, so the money stays with the coin. But they only gave the money, the five sela to the Kohen, after they divided the estate, Pturim, meaning they don't have to give the money, is what the Mishnah means, because, as we said, they have the status of Lukuchos. Lukuchos don't owe a debt from a milva alpeh, from, according to Rabbi Meir, we view this as a milva alpeh. Rabbi Yehudom and Ischayv and Luchasim, no, the estate is chayv. Even after they divide it, as we explained in the previous Mishnah, money is owed. Zachar and Akeva, let's say, these two women who this man is married to, where one of them had already given birth before, so if she has a boy, it's not going to be a bechor. And now, what emerges from these two women, a Zachar and Akeva, so ein kan l'kohen klum, because the father can say, no, I'll tell you, the one that had yet to give birth and gave birth to the first child actually gave birth to the female, and the other one that had a male had a boy, so that was the woman who already gave birth before, so this is not a bechor, and this is another example of Hamotzi Mechaber of Olav Haraya.